The reading is from James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Forever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of God.
Thank you so much, Andrew, and it's such a pleasure and a privilege to continue in our series from the book of James, which I don't know about you, but I'm finding such a helpful series. And this is one of those sermons that you may think I'm kind of pointing the finger like that, you know, convicting you all, which is actually a good thing for a preacher to do. But of course, when you point, you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. And so I've been really convicted as I've been preparing for this talk. And I'm going to start by asking you, what sort of a snob are you? Because I think we're all a bit snobbish somewhere. Maybe you are a wine snob. You know, you're never going to have a sweet Chardonnay. And quite frankly, anyone who likes Riesling or sweet Chardonnay is just not worth knowing. Maybe you're a coffee snob. I mean, seriously? You have instant coffee? I mean, I just grind my own fresh beans. Maybe you're a food snob. Maybe you're a music snob. Maybe you own a Series 2 Land Rover and you look down your nose at anyone who has a Series 3 Land Rover. Well, how do I know about these kinds of snobbery? It's me. I am him. They're all mine. And maybe yours are different. Maybe you look down your nose at somebody who doesn't support a Premier League football team. Maybe you're a clothes snob, a jewelry snob, a house snob. Let's face it, we all have our snobby areas, don't we? But there's one kind of snobbery that we will never admit to. And that's being a people snob. And today, this is what James helps us look at. So we are going to pick up for where we left last Sunday's. And I know you missed it last Sunday because we had Holy Communion. I would really strongly recommend you watch Andrew Walmsley's talk on our YouTube channel or listen to it on our app. But he starts, James, in our reading this morning, "My dear brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism." And he starts off, James starts off by giving us a single headline. As Christ followers, as people who are modeling our lives on Jesus, we should not show favoritism. And I think most of us are familiar with the idea of favoritism, aren't we? It has to do with giving preferential treatment, highlighting one person over another, valuing one person over another, treating one person better than another, all on a particular basis. It's the idea that someone's appearance is what matters most. And we do that very thing, don't we? And it starts at a young age. Those of us who have been blessed with children will know how cruel children can be to those who are different at school. And I'm sure many of our kids have been on both ends of that. It's the basis of bullying. And I'm sure many of us as grown-ups have been at both ends of that. And James gives us a really illuminating example. He's talking about church, and he says, suppose a man, could be a woman, comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. And a poor man comes in filthy old clothes. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or you go and sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Now, you're probably thinking, what has that got to do with me? I would never behave like that. And I'm sure that's true. And I don't think I would ever do that either. But the thing to grasp here is James is just giving us an example to highlight a much bigger idea, which is dividing people into camps of worth, of value based on appearance, even if it's just in your head. So, do you look at somebody and do you think immediately, are they rich or are they poor? Are they white? Are they black? Are they well-dressed? Are they not well-dressed? Are they in a good car? Or are they driving an old banger? Are they pretty? Or are they plain? Now, there are certain judgments which we should make about people. Issues related to character. Are they trustworthy? Are they dependable? But James isn't talking about that. Now, of course, there are certain people that we should honor. People in positions of authority, people who we rightfully hold high in regard because of the life they have lived. But that's not what James is after here either. He's talking about prejudice. I don't know if you've ever been taught or thought about the word prejudice, but it's two words joined together. It's pre and judge. Prejudice is pre-judging. Making an assessment before you have any real basis for that judgment. It's judgment. It's judging a book by its cover. Prejudice assumes someone is just like all those other kinds of people, instead of caring enough about the truth. And James is going after favoritism here, which is simply taking your prejudice and assigning worth or value to the front end on the book, on the outside cover of the book. Favoring rich over poor, well-dressed over not well-dressed, pretty over plain, somebody perhaps who's white over somebody who's of color. And the concern of James is making judgments among ourselves as to who is of worth and who is not. Making distinctions within the community of Christ followers as to who counts, who matters the most, who is most valued, who should be singled out for attention while others just don't get it. Now, why does this matter so much to James? Well, let me read verse 4 again. Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Evil thoughts. That's serious. He's saying if you think like that, you're thinking in an evil way. So why is it evil? Well, first, because it ranks people. That's what discrimination is, to put someone lower than someone else. But God doesn't rank people, does he? That's not the way God looks at people. And it's not the way God wants his people to be in community with each other. Have you ever thought when Jesus met Mary Magdalene, do you think he saw a prostitute? I don't think he did. Jesus didn't look at people like that way, and we shouldn't either. You see, I think what Jesus saw was a deeply damaged woman made in the image of God who needed love, compassion, and help to change. But James adds something else. It's also evil because when we play favorites, when we discriminate, we're setting ourselves up as the judge in place of God, which is not our role. Spiritually, it's a really dangerous thing to claim to be in the position of God. But that's exactly what we're doing when we judge people. And finally, James tells us it's even because it's based on evil thoughts and evil motives. Discrimination, prejudice, favoritism, it's all evil, and it all has a motive. And the motive is to treat people as less than they are. And why is it evil? Because it wars against the truth. And here's the truth. Every human being is made in the image of God and has unlimited worth and value. That's the truth. Anything that doesn't uphold that has got to be evil. That's why apartheid was evil. I've been to Belsen. I've seen the Nazi concentration camp, and I've seen what was done to people just because they were Jews. And that was evil. But it's also evil when it shows up through cliques at school. Who is welcomed? Who is paid attention to? So, the question for us is, where are we showing favoritism? Where are we acting as judge? Because wherever that's taking place in our lives, it is not of God. It has no place in a community that he has called us into being. And he gives us an example, having given us an example, he then makes his case. Verses 5 to 7. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised over those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? Here James is wondering, he's keeping building up his case like a lawyer, and he does it in two ways. First, by saying that what we base our favoritism on is not only evil, but it's also not really very clever either. And he uses money, showing preference for someone who has it versus someone who doesn't have it. He says there's nothing in someone having money that should rank them above someone who doesn't have money. In fact, if you want to look favorably on someone, look favorably on the poor, because that's who God looks favorably on. Not those who are poor out of irresponsibility or laziness, but those who are ensnared in poverty through no doing of their own. God's heart is with them. Not in the sense that God loves wealthy people any less, or that wealth in itself is bad. It's actually a very good thing if properly used. It can be a source of enormous blessing when generously submitted to Christ. But throughout the Bible, God has a special heart for the poor, because in this world, the poor are often the marginalized, the oppressed, the hurting, those who are in need, the ones who are taken advantage of. And the sickness of this fallen world specializes in victimizing the poor. So the Bible talks about God being on their side. So why would you want to put down the very people who God is trying to lift up? It's not clever. But that's not all. Not only are the poor the ones who should be given preference to, but if we don't get favoritism out of the mix, then we're messing up the entire vision of the church, the new community that Christ came to establish, where everything is countercultural. So if we get this one wrong, then our community won't be any different to the rest of the world. And we need to be completely different to the rest of the world. We need to be countercultural. We need to be the place where the first are last and the last are first, where we love our enemies, where we turn the other cheek, where we go the extra mile. We need to be everything that society is not. And if we're not like that, we will have nothing to show for our relationship with Christ. We'll just be as sick and as dysfunctional as the world. And that's not good. And then James doesn't stop there, verses 8 to 11. He wants to drive his point home in a way that makes it a deeply spiritual principle, a character issue, something that goes beyond just mere civility and fairness. He wants to get to the root of what causes favoritism to begin with. He writes, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. And here he's pulling up something which his original hearers, it would have really resonated with his original hearers. He refers to two things. One was when Jesus was asked to summarize the entire call of God on your life, to give the greatest commandment. Do you remember that bit in the Bible? And he says, when asked what the greatest commandment is, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, love God and love people. And here James is saying, favoritism is not loving people. So you're not just being a snob, you're breaking the great commandment. James is equating prejudice and favoritism with sin, with murder, with adultery. It's no less of an offense in the eyes of God. So don't play with it. Don't go there. Get it out of your life. We need to get it out of our lives to avoid it. As much as you would getting lustful thoughts or murderous thoughts or whatever, you need to get it out of your lives. Because James knew how subtle this can be. Because it's not loving people, and that's as serious as you can get for a Christian. So next time we interact with somebody, a cashier, the person at the checkout who's moving quite slowly and perhaps their grasp of English isn't as much as you would like to have, the bin man, the street cleaner, someone at the call center. If you're like me, you've been guilty when speaking and communicating with people like this of looking down your nose at them. So it's a challenge for all of us, and certainly for me. Which brings us to James's final blow. The last verse, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And here James tells us that favoritism at its heart is a lack of grace and mercy to others. It's a lack of grace and mercy to others. It's setting yourself up as judge and dispensing your own justice, finding someone guilty of having the wrong face or wearing the wrong clothes or whatever. If you do that, James says, fine, then your face will be judged in the same way. And since mercy only flows to those who show mercy, when you are going to be judged, then you are going to be judged by the standards you yourself use, which was being mercilessness. And no one wants that, do they? I certainly don't. Love others as we want to be loved ourselves. And judge others the way we want to be judged. So that is the end of our third talk in James. Much to think and much to ponder. Why don't we stand and as the band get ready to play. Yeah, that was good. You set. Come on, let's stand. Show everybody. That's it. Let's go. Let's stand. And let's just pray for ourselves. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing bit of scripture. And Lord, we come to you now as sinners in need of a Savior, in need of forgiveness. And Lord, we pray now that you would help us never to judge others, never to show favoritism. Help us, Lord, always to be merciful. Always to be inclusive. Help us to show the same kind of love that you have shown us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.